Good morning, everybody. There is a lot in Malachi chapter 2, and I didn't realize that until I was speaking, and I was speaking for like 25 minutes and pretty much going so many different ways because there's so many different specific things that God is talking about. So this is going to be a shorter episode, and we're really just going to nail the first like half of the chapter, okay? And we're going to get into what God says in the first half of Malachi 2, and the next week will be the second half, and possibly into Malachi 3 a little bit. But I don't want it to be confusing, and I don't want it to the first half of the message to lose you by listening to the second half on something that isn't really comparable. This chapter kind of just goes two separate ways. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be looking at the first half of Malachi 2. So strap in, and I hope you've been praying about it, because I have been, and let's just get started. Finally, we are turning to the book of Malachi, comically also known as Malachi. And if you think I'm lying about that, that is a legitimate fact. People actually call it Malachi. And if you call it Malachi, hey, you're wrong. Okay, get that right. No. Anyway, we are turning to the book of Malachi. This is a episode like 2 weeks in the making right here. Malachi chapter number 2. Now let's just go over a little bit of what we ended off on Malachi 1. We ended off on God comparing Judah to the heathen. And he says, "My name is great among the heathen." And we ended off saying, why do the heathen know who God is and fear God, whereas the people who are supposed to know, the Levites at that time and us today, why do we not understand and why do we not fear God for who he is? So we ended off on that, Malachi number 1. And if you want to go back to that episode, if you haven't heard and you're joining today, well, first off, welcome. Second off, go back a couple of weeks and find my Malachi 1 episode that'll explain a lot of what's about to happen in Malachi 2. Malachi 2. We're going to begin in verse 1, and we're going to read through the chapter. But first, I'm going to pray, and I hope that God can use this in a way in your life, as he did in mine, to open your eyes on what it's the danger of being partial in God's law. That's going to be the main premise throughout this entire chapter. So let's pray, and we'll get started. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this day, God, and as I prayed before I started this episode, and as I will continue praying after, God, I just pray that you please use your word, God, not my words, but your word, to open the eyes of people and open the hearts and have a real change in people's lives, God, because that's how powerful your word is. I thank you for the people that are listening, God. I pray you please bless them, and I pray that you please show them the way to live their life, because it's not hard, God. It's just, it takes time to be with you, and I thank you for everything you are and everything you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Verse 1, let's just begin. It says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." We're talking still to the priests. If you remember, we ended off on the priest. The last half of the Malachi 1 was to the priest. The next half of Malachi 2 is also to the priests. It says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you lay it not to heart. And behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, and even the dung of your solemn feasts. And ye shall take, one shall take you away with it." Okay, let's explain a little bit what that's talking about. It says, "O priests," remember who the priests were. They were the people in charge of the tabernacle or the temple at this point, and they were in charge of offering the sacrifices to God, right? He says, "O priests, if you will not hear my words and take it to heart to praise my name," and it's interesting because if we continue reading through Malachi, I think, if I remember right, it talks about how they were praising God with their mouth. This is not a praise with our mouth. What the Levites were doing is they were praising God with their mouth. And as we'll see, they were being partial, though. They were praising God with their mouth, but allowing, as you remember, these faulty sacrifices into God's temple. And it makes you think, wait a second, this curse is not for people that have completely and utterly just disregarded God. These are people who have been partial in the law. These are people who are supposed to do what's right, and they're halfway doing it, but they're also allowing things into it. And I'm not going to compare anybody. I don't know who's all listening even. I have no idea. But I want you to compare that to your own heart. And we're going to see what God curses four things specifically in this passage. Are you the one that's partial in the law like Levi was, or like the Levites were? Are you? Because this curse is not to the people that have fully rejected God. This is the curse to the people that say they love God, that are look like outwardly they're probably doing the right thing, but they're not fully sold out. Okay, so if that's you, I want you to keep listening. And even if it's not you, I want you to keep listening, because then you can see what it is or what God does to those who are that way. And you can avoid that. But maybe you are the one that is halfway giving yourself to God, just barely. You know, just enough so that you can fool everybody else. You might even be able to fool yourself. But you're not fooling God. That's the thing. Are you fully sold out? And we'll talk about probably the next episode what it's like to be fully sold out for God and what that actually means. But we'll briefly go over it here. So just keep listening. Anyway, I told you there are four things in that verse, or in the two verses, verse 2 and verse 3, that God curses. And those things are, first, you. It says, if you will not hear and you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. Okay, so God curses you. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to be cursed by God. God says he'll curse you. Well, what specifically about you? Well, he goes on and says, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Because you do not lay God's words to your heart, he will curse you. He will curse your blessings. You won't prosper in this life or the life after. 3, he will curse your family, your offspring. If you go down to verse 3, it says, Behold, I will corrupt your seed. He's saying here, and this is a great reminder, that your sin does not only affect you. You know, a parent or two parents that are partial in the law, that say they love one thing but do another, and who aren't fully sold out, do you know who they're going to raise? Kids. Kids that are partially sold out for God. You know who those people are going to raise? Kids that are partially sold out for God. And it all V-lines back to you. Because if you aren't fully sold out for God, and if you're not doing everything you can for him, to love him, to keep his commandments, and to abide daily in him, it goes back to you, because he cursed you because you were partial in his law. He cursed your blessings because you were partial in his law. He cursed your offsprings. He corrupts your offsprings. Why? Because of you. If you love your kids, or you want to see them grow up and have kids and them love their kids enough to also, it's perfect, really, when you think about it, the way that God uses you. You are the start to a new generation. God uses you to reach people for Christ all through your family. You know, I think probably the greatest ministry that we could ever have is just raising a family. Because think about it, the greatest multiplication ever done. Let's say that, well, my mom and dad, they had 5 kids, right? Let's say all 5 of us kids grow up, get married, which also would bring another person into our family. So that right there is 12 people for God, right? Then we all have 3 kids. I'm not even doing the math right now because I don't have a calculator in front of me. But that it just keeps increasing. And then those three kids, what's 3 times 5? 15. 15 kids all have another 3 kids. And it just keeps going on. And if we are all teaching the biblical truths to be stay true to God, that is a great multiplication. We will reach so many people for God. That's what he's saying here. So your sin not only corrupts you, not only corrupts your blessings, not only corrupts your offspring, but it also, as it goes on, it says how he spreads dung on their faces. That is poo. Okay, I'm just going to say it. You know what that is? That is a shame. God is going to corrupt your legacy you have here on earth. He will corrupt what he's given you on this earth too. You will be ashamed because you did not fully sell out for God. Is that not a lot of things? And we're only 3 verses in. So I'm going to keep going. Verse number 4 here. Hopefully that all made sense. It made sense to me when I was reading it. And it really opened my eyes. Verse number 4. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace. And I gave him, or I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was before my name. The law of truth was found in his mouth. Okay, I was going to keep reading this and then explain it, but let's just explain it as we're reading it. We're talking about Levi, like the actual person Levi, the 12 sons of Jacob, Levi the person, not Levi the priesthood, okay? He says, when I first gave this priesthood job to Levi, there's a reason why God chose Levi, and we can see that, and we don't really see this a lot in Scripture, but he actually describes what Levi was like. Levi was kind of just the, you know, we had Joseph, we had Judah, we had all of these, there was 12 tribes to get into, so there was not a specific one except Joseph that it really went in deep into what their actual, life was, lifestyle. But we see Levi's here. Verse 5, my covenant was with him of life and peace. You want life and peace? You gotta fear God like Levi did. Levi, and we'll keep reading and see how he just walked with God. That's the way to have life and peace. To walk with God, to understand that he is God, in reverence, fear him, and your life will have life and peace. There's a great contrast here in these first 4 verses, or, you know, 6 verses. The first 3, if you don't hear what I'm saying, if you don't take heart to what I'm telling you, then you'll be cursed. Not only you, but, you know, your blessings, your children, your pride, your life here on earth, it'll all be shamed. It'll all be cursed. But then we go down and see Levi loved God. He walked with God, and we'll keep reading and see that. But I just want to point out the contrast that the first 3 verses is if you don't do what Levi did, you'll be cursed. But now we're going to see what Levi did, and he wasn't cursed. He had life and peace. Is that not amazing? Let's keep reading verse number 6. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. That is what it's all about. You walk humbly. You don't give in to the flesh. And like I was saying, I think it was the last episode, not giving into the flesh is not, or walking in the Spirit is not a product of not walking in the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is a product, or not walking in the flesh is a product of walking in the Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit first. And you can see that. How did he turn many away from his iniquities? Because he walked with God. Because he walked with him in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquities. Verse number 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge and should seek the law of his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now remember what I was saying before. We are the modern day priests. We are the ones that hold God's words and give it to other people and try to show them how they can get the peace that we have. For the priesthood. So I want you to line yourself up with this and see if your life lines up with the life of Levi. And if you do walk with God in peace, and if you do fear God, and if you do depart from all iniquity, and if you do help others depart from iniquity, and if your lips have knowledge, not just knowledge, but wisdom, and you grab a hold of the knowledge and take it to heart, then you'll be blessed like Levi was. Isn't that amazing? It's a huge contrast between the first six verses. Now let's continue reading and get into verse number 8. But ye are departed out of the law, and have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord God of hosts. Therefore, I have also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according to as ye have not kept my ways, but have been, what? Partial in my law. Now, I did look up contemptible, and I knew this before, I just didn't write it down. It's evil, okay? It's taking something that's good and making it evil, is what I understood when I looked at the definition, okay? And this is the problem that not a lot of us understand, is being partial causes others to stumble. Because if you had a salesman come up to your house and they were trying to sell you a product, and they said, look, this product is great, but then you go to their house and they're not using that product, would you buy that from them? It's like, well, if it's so great, why aren't you using it, you know? This is the problem with being partial in the law. It goes back to the lukewarm Christians in Revelation, which that's another big thing that I want to get into at some point. But ye have caused many to stumble at the law because you have corrupted the covenant of Levi. And then God goes on, as I said before, therefore, in verse number 9, I have also made you contemptible and base before all the people. It's interesting because God makes us contemptible. He makes us be tainted when we taint his word. Because these priests were making in Malachi 1, chapter 8, they were making the table of the Lord, or chapter 1, verse number 7. That was weird. They made the Lord's table contemptible. It's interesting how you do what you plant, you will reap. You reap what you sow, right? They made the table of the Lord contemptible, and God's like, look, now I'm going to make you contemptible. Don't do that. Don't be partial in the law, guys. Because I'm not going to keep going over it. But we already saw how not taking to heart what it will do to you. We saw what taking his words to heart and fearing him would do to you. And we also see what being departed does to other people. Being half-hearted in our serving God. Being half-hearted in our walk with God. Being partial in the law. Verse number 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath God not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? That's really, really cool. He's saying, don't we all have one Father? Didn't God make us all? So why are we profaning God? Why are we dealing treacherously against everybody else because we aren't going to the covenant of our fathers? Who was the covenant of the fathers? It was Levi for them. He's saying, why are you dealing treacherously with everybody else because you aren't going back to what God said in the first place? The thing is, in our normal eyes, it doesn't look like Levi was doing anything bad. Levi was accepting anything that people were giving him, right? They were taking the offerings that people would give him. That sounds good. That sounds great, doesn't it? It often makes me think about how this whole love movement, quote unquote, you know, love who you love. It all sounds good. It sounds amazing, actually. and is very, very deceitful. But it's saying, why have you dealt treacherously with them? It doesn't seem like you've done treacherously, does it? But the fact is, and this is hard to hear, but it's true. When you say, love who you love, when you don't call out sin for sin, you are dealing treacherously with them because you are saying that what they're doing is okay. That God will accept the nastiness that they have in their heart. Rather, God doesn't accept that. What does he accept? As I say over and over and over again, he doesn't accept the sin, he accepts the sinner. And we're going to end this episode right here. No matter what, we try to act like it's okay. And it's not just the gay pride movement. It's not just the abortion clinics. It's when people, like Christians, say, oh, it's just a little white lie. It was just a little thing. Oh, no, that's okay that you, I don't know, took something. That's fine. When God says something is wrong, no matter what we think, we have to understand that it is wrong. And that's the whole point of this first half of the chapter. That God said, what would happen to you if you departed? If you don't take to heart what he says, that you'll be cursed. Or you could be blessed and you could walk with him like Levi did. And you'll be able to have life and peace. And we also see what it's like when people are doing half of both. When they're listening to a little bit of the Bible, but then getting rid of the things that they don't think is applicable. Guys, let's get serious about what the Bible says. Let's stop being partial in the law, because we see how that can hurt people. The people that you love, the people you are trying to win over and love by this whole not accepting sin as sin movement. We're hurting them even worse. We're not only cursing ourselves, but we are setting them up for failure, because what we are teaching them, that God loves everything. When he doesn't, he loves everyone, but not everything. He hates sin, and he cannot be around it if you are indulging yourself in it. Then we are setting people up for failure. So I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray with me. If you are this way, if you have been partial in God's law, it's not too late. It's not. God gave us the Bible for this specific reason, that we can find where we were wrong and we can reprove ourselves and get ourselves right back with God no matter where we are in our walk. This is the reason God gave us the words that we just read. And so that you, if you are living this way, can change it. You don't have to live like this. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for everything that you are. I thank you that you have given us these cautionary tales in the Bible, that you have recorded these amazing words that we can look and we can see how to guide our lives. And even if we haven't made the choices yet on whether or not we're going to be partial or whether or not we're going to be sold out, we can see the way that each path goes, God. Thank you that we can see that the departed path, the path that is half-hearted for you, is not going to prosper, and we're going to hurt a lot of people, the people that we love. Or, God, we can go down the right path. We can do what you say, and we see how we will prosper and other people will be helped, God. And I just pray that you please help the person listening right now, whether they're listening the same day or years in the future, God. Please help them to understand the danger of being departed and being a stumbling block for the people that they love, God. Help them get their life right, because you are a God that works miracles. And even when we think that we are too far gone, God, you know we're not. You know, when we think about how enormous the universe is, God, and how the sun is X amount times bigger than the earth, and there's stars millions of times as big as the sun, only in our one galaxy, when we have so many other ones, God, it's amazing to think that you see us on this little planet. God, you hold the entire universe in your hands, and you see us. God, you see the person that's listening right now. Please help them. And I'm seriously praying. Help them to not hurt themselves. Help them to get out of this so they don't hurt other people and the people that they love, God, and just show them truth. I thank you for everything that you are and everything you've done for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.